Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSS Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, CJSFCA, streaming worldwide. This is the Saluau Show. Speak up, listen up, act upon what you have heard. You are going to be hearing about the East Side Culture Crawl coming up. We have Rosemary Bird, a fiber artist. We have Garrett Chong, nature-oriented artist, and we have Chantel Cardinal. You're going to hear about portals, wearable art, things for every generation. You're going to learn how these artists use meditation and music as part of their work and how they share. People can come to the activities at the Culture Crawl. They can do a workshop. They can look, you know, just walk around. But you're going to hear from the three artists we have today how much they have to share with you and how much enthusiasm they are sharing about the Culture Crawl. We also have a nice dog. Tell us about your dog, Gary.
Oh, it's the dog's name is Shanti. You can follow her on Instagram, Love Shanti Girl. She sits in the window. She's the doggy in the window. Everybody sees her. In Railtown, if you walk down Railtown, down Railway Street, you'll bump right into her. So everybody walks by and says hello to her. So it's nice. She's quite a draw for the crawl.
Wow. That's great.
They talk more about the dog than my work, so it's good problems.
Tell us a little about your work.
My work?
Yes.
I like to work, as you can see the imagery behind me, I like to work in that concept of light, working with light, light as a life source, light as in how it can create mood, but also light that can create an aura and that space. So I got very involved with aura and light and infrared photography when I was quite young. And then I moved that into digital. And now I'm working with a lot of different components of space between, and like life is uncertain. So that we live in this area in flux. So we want to go from the liminal space from here to here. So there's an illusion that we all live in the states of different illusions. So I wanted to work with that challenge and expand the understanding of living in uncertainty, like much the way we are today. And then also appreciate the beauty and complexity of living in that liminal space. So I'm trying to show images that are like horrible beauty, like show something that's very like severed, a stump that is severed, but also it's very beauty in its aura and its energy. And then when I was on the, up in Wales on my artist residency, I wanted to work with the public and I wanted to ask people, if the forest could speak, what would it say? Speak for me. So I had a lot of, and what is your age? So I tried to work with people and what their perceptions of what they see and their age, and if there was a correlation between the two. So from sort of from here to there, that, you know, being an amber light, you know how amber light, there's a space of just indecision, influx, like they call it like dust to dawn. There's that space. And a flower is blossoming, there's that space. You know, when there's teenager, adolescent, there's a space of growth. So we're in that space right now, and you could say that space could be towards sort of a, more of a consciousness of awareness of what's out there. So I like to work on that, play in that box. On a series is called Liminal Illusions.
Wow. Sounds like a box that we're in or need to be in, because there are a lot of activist educational activities around saving our forests and understanding the beauty of the old growth trees.
And we come from the earth and we return to the earth. So I think if we can get a greater appreciation for that and just open it up, just open up that space. There's so many words that are limited. Like somebody said to me the other day, like, you know, we're living in a free world. And I said, is it really free? Define free. You know, so we started breaking down the word of free. And then we're not really free. There's not that component's not there. So sort of understanding the terms of what that space is.
And how does the Culture Crawl allow you to express and share that with people?
Oh, I find that people that just come in, I play much more of a meditative, calmer environment. I've got about 1,200 square feet here. So I find that people that they open up a dialogue really easily for me to speak with them. to also that seamless interaction. Unlike a gallery space, it tends to be more restrictive, like a library. But when you walk into the studio, you can have a deep conversation with a specific individual or artist. There's an idea exchange. You know, there's a burst of appreciation. If you've ever seen, you know, this area at this time of year is very gray and bland, and I find that, you know, you get this huge burst of like joy and love and energy and appreciation, and I think everybody in the life should go through an Eastside Culture Crawl as an artist, because the patrons in Vancouver, they may not acquire as much work, but they sure throw their appreciation and love for you opening. Mm-hmm. And acquisitions and referrals and networking, for sure. You know, and the benefits, I think, to the patrons are they have easy access to almost 500 artists. It's all free, you know, all mediums. I think one of the largest culture crawls in the world, my understanding is. And I've known Esther from years ago. I designed the logo on top of the Fire Hall Art Center. I designed that in like probably 1988. So it's kind of full circle for me.
Wow. Well, we're hear more about the ways that you interact and the intersections between your work. Chantel, can you tell us a little bit more about your work? You do your work one stitch at a time.
I'm not the stitcher, I'm the felter. So I it's more one fiber at a time. I actually accidentally fell into felting, but my background is a fashion designer and I worked in the fashion industry, which was very wasteful and didn't fit very well. And then I went into work in films, which is a lot more imagination and creating characters and stories. But then I worked on Granville Island in this studio and I discovered how to make my own material, literally from like loose fibers, binding it together, super, super simple ancient technique, which is just wool, water, and agitation, mostly me, my muscles and agitation. And I come from an athletic background. I did a lot of competitive sports and contact sports, and that just spoke to me. And also the fact that I can reuse everything in my work, even the little scraps of wool can become texture. And the more I practice, it's more about the process. So I don't have a vision as much as putting my hands in the wool and creating something from it. And in the past few years, I've been actually going to shearings and connecting with the farmers and literally knowing which sheep I want, which locks and which curls from Dilly, from Pog, from All By Name. I have a project coming up and literally I got first dibs from my farmer. I'm like, okay, I need to come and pick my rock stars. Which one can I grab for this project?
That's pretty amazing.
And it's just, I was talking before we went on air that my studio is an open concept. I do not have 1200 square feet. I have 150 square feet of boxes up to the ceiling of wool and raw fleeces in different stages. And in my studio is very, it's not going to be gallery-like. It's going to be very clustery. It's an organized chaos is the way that I like to put it. And in my studio, it says, please do touch. Hmm. I don't talk for the other artists because my medium is tactile. And what I work is I work with my hands. And if you don't touch, you don't get the full experience of connecting to where things come from. And the more I practice, the more texture and the more true I want to be to the wool. So I want them to keep the curls. And so you know that it's actually straight from a sheep. And of course I add other fibers. So like, you know, I'm called a fiber artist, but really I just want to be the crazy wool lady. I just think everything can be made out of wool. That's me. And I have a big chair that I made out of wool that I ask people to sit in as a conversation starter, that it can be like small and delicate, or it can be this big, strong, binded fiber together. It's like a carpet weight. So I do everything in between from the tiny little things for earrings to really big. I like to challenge myself. So I like to do stuff I've never done before. So if you're asking me exactly what I do, it's like I experiment a lot. And I like to connect with people and have conversations, and I have workshops and I tell people, and I love when they realize that they made this with their own hands. So to me, it's all about the process, not necessarily the end product. It's a really fun journey. And my favorite part is literally having both hands in dirty wool. When I say, is this wrong that this is my favorite part? Like, it's not what I'm making at the end. It's literally having my hands full of mystery mud and then creating something from either waste wool and or just things. Yeah, it's very close. I feel very connected to the earth when I'm doing this. I feel like I'm going backwards, and that's the way that I need to go.
It seems like it's really important, too, because they've been talking about these new clothes with fibers people can't recognize, you know, that's got plastics or whatnot. But it seems like that would be one way of both showing recycling and helping people to understand what wool is and how creative you can be with it.
There's a wool campaign. So you can come to my studio and read about this to try to reconnect people to where things come from and why wool was important. And it still is. It's a magical fiber that can be used for all kinds of stuff. It's just not cost efficient, which is the reason why people are now doing all these synthetic. It's, you know, it's very process heavy. You have to use water to wash it. There's a lot of steps. And in the end, you know, people just want to get cheap and cheerful.
Right.
And I'd rather have a very nice piece that will last me forever than one of those things that after a year, it kind of loses its shape and, you know, goes to the recycling bin.
Or worse, it's out there on those ships. You know, they've got miles and miles of ships where countries aren't allowing. Then a lot of them are full of this fake fabric.
Yeah.
Do you find at the Crawl, do people have time for education and discussion? Give us a little bit of description of what happens when people are on the Crawl and they come to a session.
Well, actually, there's two bits. There's people that just kind of walk by and need to tick the list and they came to see, okay, and that's great. And then there's people that really want to know, and then they want to sit down and ask you all these questions, and then they can be there for a while, and that's okay. And I welcome that. That's the reason why the Culture Crawl exists, is to have these connections and conversations. If not, then our doors are not open to the public on a regular basis. This is your sneak in and get a free pass to come and to our world for a little bit. And I really, really love sitting there and talking to people. And of course, I'm just going to talk my ear off. If you want to talk about wool, you know, that's my thing. Crazy wool lady. But it's true that some people, and it's not for everybody. Some people, that's not their thing. They'll just go, I like painting. So they'll move on. My studio mates, you just go next door and go see the paintings. Mm-hmm. But the fiber people come to me, and we have a few fiber artists. And we also have two felters, like literally side by side. What are the odds of that?
Wow.
So at least you can come for a one stop. You'll get at least three or four artists that work that fibers or somewhat a mixed media of that. So it's not just, you don't just come and see me. You can come and see other people. And not to mention discovering other things that you didn't know, other mediums, other styles. And that's the beauty of having an open studio with other artists. It's not
Absolutely.
Just about going to see. Yeah. And it's very enriching for me, for my practice, but for people, I find that's a great way to discover things that you didn't necessarily know was even there.
Well, another thing people will be discovering with Rosemary, fiber art, and also how you create your work one stitch at a time.
Yeah. So it's really fun that I'm here today with Garrett and Chantel, because one part of my work really sort of pulls from both of those. So on one hand, I use photographs as the base for my work. And then on the other hand, I use fibers to then embellish it. So I, like Chantel, you might be the crazy wool lady. I'm the crazy photographer, because I'm out there with my iPhone shaking it like mad and taking photos. And I'm probably the only photographer that then throws out all the ones that are in focus. What I'm looking for the photographs that have intentional blur, that are giving streaks of light and color. And then I embroider those streaks of light and color with silk embroidery thread. So for me, I'm sort of like Garrett, the whole notion, most of my photographs right now are about trees. They're about being out in nature, about seeing that light. The Japanese actually have a very particular, have a word for it. It's called komorebi, which is the light filtering through the leaves. And that really is what...
Komorebi.
Yeah. But it's the light filtering through the trees. And that's really what my photographs are capturing. But it's for me, it's like my photograph is something that happens in an instant. And then I spend hours embroidering those photographs. And so I have one part that's instant and almost frenetic. It's, you know, it's just like, it's almost like the photos are vibrating. And then the other part is slow, contemplative, meditative stitching. So, and the end point for me are these photographs that are celebrating trees in the natural world. And it reminds me of, there's another photographer, Camille Sleeman, who is, oh, am I getting her mixed up with another artist? I know. Camille Seaman. She's a photographer who has traveled the world, spent a lot of time in Antarctica. And one of her, when someone asks her why she takes her photographs, she says, well, I want you to fall in love with the world. Because you have to fall in love with it first, if then you're going to be inspired to change it, if you're going to be inspired to take action. And that's sort of where I feel that what I'm doing. I want you to fall in love with this natural world so that then you're going to feel empowered or motivated to do something with it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Well said.
Well, I want to say to the you that's our listeners this morning, this is Charlotte Farrell. This is the Sulu Ah Show. Speak up, listen up, act upon. We speak up so you can listen up and hear all these things like you're hearing about work with textures, being attentive to nature, finding out what your fabrics and using fabrics that you know and recognize rather than things that are made maybe by chemicals. But we're having a talk about the culture crawl, and as well as the culture crawl, getting to know more about these three artists who are going to be featured there. Garrick Chung, Rosemary Bird, and Chantel Cardinal. Rosemary, tell us more about your work.
Well, it's interesting for me. My work really started with stitching and actually with patching, with mending. Like Chantel, I'm really concerned about throwaway fabrics, fast fashion. And I started 5 years ago. I found out about sashiko, which is a Japanese style of embroidery that was really developed to hold fabric together, to make fabric last longer, to make it stronger. And so I started with that, doing that, and then doing, you know, embroidering my jeans, darning that. And then in a conversation with a friend one day, we were talking about portals, the things that the whole notion of going inward and going deeper at the same time. And I thought, oh, well, I bet I could stitch that. And so I started stitching what I called my portals, which are round pieces where I stitch circles and then I cut them open to reveal fabric underneath. And then I stitch that. And then, they're multi-layered pieces using found fabrics and reused fabrics. So that got me started on this whole thing of stitching as almost a meditation. I'm not somebody who sits still very well. So that was my form of meditation, was sitting and stitching. And then I'd been doing my photographs for like over a decade. But in the pandemic, I saw a call for, they were looking for, a gallery was looking for photographs that had been altered by hand. And I thought, oh, what if I stitched on one of my photographs? So that was 2021, and that's how I got started in doing what I was doing. I started with photographs that were 3 inches by 3 inches, and my latest ones that are actually at a gallery in West Vancouver right now. My biggest one is 3 feet by 4 feet, and all stitched photograph.
Now, for people who haven't been at the crawl before, how does it? Well, when does it start?
It starts next Thursday, it starts on Thursday, November the 16th. There are 2 evenings, the Thursday night and Friday night, and then all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And where I am, I'm in 1000 Parker Street. We have over probably close to 150 artists, and four floors that you can wander along. Like Chantel or like Garrett, you'll see, you know, it might be, I'm in a front part of a studio. My studio mate is an abstract painter. I'm on a floor with other painters, photographers, printmakers, other fiber artists. So it's just, you never know what you're going to find behind that next door. But starting on Thursday night, a great way to come in and start connecting with some of the Vancouver's arts community.
Well, it sounds like it's a fitness activity, a mental health activity. Get to know more about your city and your neighbor's activity.
Absolutely. And honestly, if you come to Parker Street, you have to be prepared to climb the stairs. So my recommendation would be come right up to the top and then you almost just sort of slide your way down.
That's funny. When people come, is there a time limit? Do people just stay as long as they want? Or is there like when you go to a theater, you're there for an hour and a half and then you have to move it?
You can stay as long as the gallery is open. Mm-hmm. Or the area space is open. I've had people stay for an hour. They've gone away to Parker Street and came back and just sat down to calm down for a bit because they found they needed to recharge. So we welcome it. I get some street people coming in. That's just a part of what it's like living down here. So be polite and, you know, it's fine.
But yeah, I mean, like Chantel had said earlier, some people might just breeze by. They might just sort of look and think, that's not for me, and walk on to the next thing. And other people will come in and you'll have these fabulous conversations with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Most of us have snacks and give or you tea. And frequently other artists. To stay. Yeah.
Tea. Tell me more about your snacks, Chantel.
I usually have chocolates or something because you need to keep going. A lot of people are losing a little bit of energy. At a certain point, you need to reboost a little bit. So I do have a few chairs and here have a chocolate or a Glühwein, non-alcoholic, of course, or something, a little bit to recharge. So if somebody wants to stop and take a breather, they can. And we encourage that as well. So it's you know, it doesn't have to be, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So you have to kind of pace yourself. And there's often food trucks as well and parked outside of the studios. A lot of the studios, I know Parker has a gallery. So you can also just sit in the gallery and take a little bit of break. There's some music some places. There's a little bit of everything. So we try to make sure that people linger and you know, take the time to talk. We want to talk. Yeah. Don't think we don't. Because don't try to be polite. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to disturb you. That's the whole point. Just have a seat. What's your question? What do you want to talk about? Anything. It's that you don't get a chance to do this. We do this once a year. So, or sometimes twice if you're opening for a salon, but most of the time it's a once a year thing.
Yeah. I would say, following from what Chantel just said is you can look at it as being a marathon, but you could also, you know, it's great to try to chunk things for yourself so that, oh, I'm going to go do this for an hour. Then maybe you go off and get some, you know, do something else and then come back and jump back in because it can be overwhelming to, you know, if you come to a place and think I'm going to come and see everything, you just get full up pretty fast. So I take it in chunks.
Yeah. I've heard take it in sections and areas.
Yeah.
Cause people get burnt out. Like people come into the studio cause you have to walk up a series of stairs. They're very loud. And then they come in and it's so quiet in here that they're like, they start tippy-toeing around. And I like that component of it because all of a sudden they respect, it's like walking into a library, they respect the space. And then the conversations start. And the other people, they don't like it. Like Chantel said, they just come in. It's like the Amazing Race. They come zoom, 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 and they're gone. And that's fine. Yeah. You know, you do what you want to do. And the people that stay, you have these very authentic conversations with them. And they talk about techniques or other artists or other meditative techniques or yoga practice or this or that. And great, you build a connection. And I use a sign-up list. So I stay in contact with all of them through email and social media. And it's nice to build relationships with them. And it's great. It's beautiful. It's everything that an artist probably would want.
Right? Yeah. And I think the thing that's so special about the Culture Crawl is that there really is something for everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what your interest is, whether you're interested in jewelry or you're interested in woodworking, or maybe you're crazy about manga or, you know, your fine art oil painting, like whatever it is, there is, like, it's here, which is just, and it, I love the fact that everything is up against each other, you know, to be in a studio like Chantel's where you have 12 different people working, to see all of that work against, you know, with each other. It's just like, it's, that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. The synergy in that, that room must be extraordinary.
Yeah. Do you find there's people of all ages come?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Kids, everybody.
18, my activity 18 seems to be 85.
Yeah. I attract white hair ladies is the way those are my people. And I'm a white hair lady. If it wasn't dyed, because it's an older practice. It's something that you for some reason it talks to women that are either retiring or and wanting to do something finally for themselves. So fiber arts really talk to a cultural, a reconnecting, a finally getting to do what I do, what I've been wanting to do. Sometimes they do it on the side, so they'll come in for workshops and things like that. But I mean, there's a program. You can actually look up all the people that you're curious about, or even by woodworking or by things. So grab a program in the first studio that you go, and then just highlight the places that you, so you don't miss out on the ones that you really want to see. But you can also not have a plan and just, you know, go for it. But the program is pretty practical to see who's where and
Yeah, but also the Culture Crawl website is fantastic. You can explore artists there. So say you decided you want to go and see all the photographers. You can plug in photography and then you'll get all the different photographers, get to see what their work is, get a little snapshots of it. So then you can start making decisions about where you want to go. So, you know, I think between the two of those, the program helps you find where everybody is. The website helps you see who everybody is and gives you a taste of what they're doing. So you can spend your time doing some research ahead of time to really be able to focus on what you want. Or as we've been saying, you can just walk in and then sort of take what comes.
Also, there's Matterport. Several artists have Matterport. It's a 360-degree view of their base, which is fantastic for people that are maybe they're shut-ins, they're in wheelchairs, they can't get out, or they're from other parts of the world.
Explain Matterport again.
It's a 360-degree view of your studio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like, remember the old days of House by Mouse? Remember you could go to someone's house and you could go, if you're looking for real estate, you could go through the house by a computer, by a mouse, going from room to room to room to room. So you can do that now.
Oh.
So that came out of COVID when we couldn't open our studios, or some people did not open their studios. So we had all these technology homework to say, if you want to participate in the crawl but not open, like interact with people, and we can create your own Matterport so people can actually. So that came out of that. But then it forced us to, you know, take it to the next step. So, yes. So international people now don't have to literally fly into Vancouver. They can just eavesdrop on your Matterport and see what's going on in your studio.
Can you spell that so anyone who doesn't understand just spell that?
Matterport. MATTERPORT.
And when you go to the Culture Crawl website, when you're looking at an artist's profile, if they have a Matterport, there'll be a little symbol in the corner, and then you can just click it and see it from there.
Yeah. It's a 360-degree view of the studio.
It's spectacular. Often, and you can find out where as an artist, you can find out where your patrons are coming from, which is phenomenal. But the problem is you have to be very recent. So when you're having new shows all the time in your studio, it's very hard to keep it updated.
Got it.
So you might go to their Matterport, but it might be work from, say, a year ago, or because you're still putting your show together. Well, I don't know how organized people are, but
a funny song playing in the back of my head as you got me going in the circles, but in a good way. Would you again each tell people your contact points and your first and last name so that anyone who wants to write it down and look for it in the program will?
Sure. Who would you want me to go first?
Yes, you can go first.
Sure. My name is Garrett Chong, but and from an artist perspective, I changed it to where I use my full name, which is Garrett Andrew Chong.